Never before has the world come across four men more willing to share their collective knowledge and wisdom for nothing in return. They'll deliver it to you with such style and class and make Samuel L. Jackson look more like your snotty-nosed cousin who still wets the bed.
Fuller, go easy on the Pepsi.
Why am I saying incredibly wonderful things about these men? Well, I have a terrible, terrible gambling habit and I owe them a lot of money. It'll be epic.
Something special is about to happen.
It'll be brave.
No fear, no hesitation.
It'll be perfect in every way possible.
Are you kidding me?
Rangers. Pete, Muffy and Joe, coming to you in all its pre-recorded glory from the capital of Australia. This is The Sports Trench.
Ah yes, episode 128 of The Sports Trench is here, and it's been a long time between drinks, boys. About 5 minutes since the last episode finished. First off, the man to my right, the man who is sometimes referred to as the amusing one, Fulzy.
Oh, thank you. I love that introduction.
No worries. How are you, my funny friend?
Mate, I'm happening? Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I've had a big 5 minutes.
Yep.
So I've had a chat with Muffy's wife.
Yep.
About Married at First Sight.
Yes.
We're both fans.
Oh, really?
Oh, we're missing it.
We are missing it. Damn. We are missing it.
I'm okay.
Billy was crying in a sink when I saw. Which is just the most standard Billy ever.
I have no idea who any of these people
are. Oh, you'd love
I've
it.
I've never watched this rubbish in my life.
I got a spoiler alert for that.
Yeah.
You know, Billy.
He's an actor.
This is the worst.
Well, no, but his, what's his, is it Susie? Is that the bird?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know who Susie is now back with and her ex-partner?
Who?
The one and only Todd Carney.
Oh, no way.
Doesn't that make sense now?
That makes a lot of sense.
At least you brought it back to rugby league.
No, that's good.
Because, like, this is the absolute worst intro we've ever had.
No, it's good. Yeah. It's good. Do you know what else I did?
I was bringing back to Goulburn Celebrities, not rugby league. But anyway, Gavin Miller's the other one. He's also. Doesn't matter.
Good. Yes. Fulzy, go on.
I went to the bathroom.
Yes.
Caught a glimpse.
Of what?
Of my... Of my tied back hair in the mirror.
Yeah.
And Pete, I don't say this lightly, but I might be the biggest premium in existence.
Yes, that is how I would describe
you. Oh, my goodness. It's both rugged and adorable.
There's probably four other blokes who'd describe you as premium.
I think a large portion of the wider community would be like, gosh, that is a hard premium.
I think you're incorrect there. But anyway, moving on to the man who's sometimes referred to as the button pushing one, Muffy. That's because you don't always push them on time, mainly.
I do. Well, look, hang on. Look, something's happening right now.
Shock me.
Well, you'd confuse me. Anyway.
Why? You're the next person to introduce.
I was hoping to create some mystique around us recording at the same time as the other episode, but you guys have completely stuffed that up.
Oh, sorry about
How
that.
How were we going to do that? We talked about it in the first episode. Well, we told you what was going to happen.
You mustn't have been in the room, but I said in the first episode of Fulzy, don't mention anything about the second episode or team lists. And then like 5 minutes, Pete's like, oh, but he's already been named. It's like, good one, Pete.
Yeah, no, I definitely wasn't in the room. Well,
mystery
that's your fault.
Gone.
Oh, dear.
Because everyone listens to this show because they know how professional and how on the ball we are.
Yes, that is exactly...
And how seamless we make everything.
That is exactly why they listen to the show.
Should we... Mm. Should we actually have a shout-out to our unofficial sponsor? We haven't mentioned them yet.
Oh, we didn't. We mentioned a number of unofficial sponsors.
But our official unofficial sponsor.
Yes,
The Cock and Crown, the barbershop, Tim... He would love to have a go at that bunny tail.
Oh, mate, I'm too much of a premium at the moment.
I'm sure he could shape it into... Well, what about the undercut? Keep the top...
No, you can't do that. You can't do that.
You can do it. We believe in you.
Nah, I'm out.
I think we have to do it.
No.
I think you should.
Nah.
I think you should Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Oh, he does look very Ibrahimovic, doesn't he?
You could Zlatan it.
He's also a premium.
He is a premium. He's much more of a premium than
you
are.
Okay.
Anyway. Muffy, how are you in the 5 minutes? Anything exciting happened in your life in that 5 minutes?
Well, I didn't even go and speak to my wife. I felt a bit bad now. Fulzy did. No, I didn't. No, I sat here and I spoke to you, Pete.
Yep, no, that was about it. And we didn't really come up with anything, did we? It was pretty boring.
Well, I had to set up for this recording, so that's what I was doing.
Oh, yeah, you're going to be so switched on.
I'm all on it now.
All right. What are we going to talk about here? Well, round one, team lists are out.
Oh, good. I thought you were going to jump in. I had the intro already queued.
Oh, you've changed. We're going to talk about the team list for round one, obviously, and we're going to talk about Supercoach, and we're actually going to have a bet and hopefully get a win to start the year. But before all that, let's do the news.
The good, the bad, and the...
premiums.
From the trenches.
Yes, excellent.
So there's more than one in this room.
All of us. Are varying degrees of premium.
Varying degrees.
Myself, obviously, at the top. Yes, and of then course. You guys, wherever.
I think Abramovich scale, you are.
Yeah, I'm right up there.
I think you are now going to be banned from the word. Like, okay. I think that's it for you. You've done it. You've succeeded in getting yourself cut.
Oh,
well done.
Fair enough.
First off, boys, let's talk about the mighty Green Machine, because we'll talk about them. Looks like they're in talks to sign George Williams from the English Super League, the English Test halfback, on a 3-year deal starting next year, which could be a good thing. May mean Caesar's on the way out. It also may mean Jack Whiten goes back to fullback, and I am hard triggered by that. But we'll see what happens in the meantime. But it's an interesting one. Raiders keep chasing players from the English Super League.
I'm all for it. I think the more English players we can have in the Raiders lineup.
We know why you two want
little Joe. Could you imagine calling that game? Oh, the lineups would be phenomenal.
It would be so good.
And they'd all be from the Midlands. No. All grew up together in the Midlands.
No, they did not.
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
Good on Ricky. I like Ricky's. I like his policy.
Yeah.
Just get just, all
I
the
do
pom.
Have to
half,
wonder, though.
Half pom.
At what point are you moving the team to Essex? Like, it's pretty much there now.
Not Wessex.
Like, more team, more dudes in that team are going to be homesick.
Not Wessex or Sussex.
No. Essex. Always Essex. What market in Sussex, Pete? Oh, my God.
You're thinking it all wrong. How about we just change, like, a suburb here in Canberra, like Charnwood, you turned it into Little Essex.
Little Essex. I like it.
Like, do it the other way.
Yeah. No, that's good. Yeah. I'm on.
Little Essex.
Yeah,
Charnwood,
little Midlands, in Woden, in Weston somewhere. It's right in the middle, the Midlands.
Oh, God.
I would hang out there all day.
No, you wouldn't.
And just wait for people to trip over, hopefully girls, and be like, "Oh, you're right there, love."
Oh,
that would be my new job. It wouldn't pay a lot, but it would be very.
Be careful there, love. Don't fall down the apples and pears.
Wouldn't have someone done a mischief on that stair, innit, when they built that? About half a ton bigger than the next.
We need to move on. We don't have time for this. All right. Second story, boys. NRL have been attempting to clean up the game with the off-field issues. They've now said that, and they will be banning players after being charged with offences which carry a sentence greater than 11 years. Should the player... So...
I find this horrendous that they've even got to bring this law in. But anyway,
that's the way the world works.
So
the question is it the right or wrong reaction to what has been happening in the game at the moment?
It's the necessary reaction when you do nothing for 25 years prior to it.
So have they potentially gone too far the other way? Because the question needs to be, and I read an article about the person who represented Brett Stewart, who was found that within an hour of the jury came back saying not guilty for him and his case, within an hour, and that it was a false accusation. So let's say, for Jack DeBellin has been falsely accused here. He now has to sit out 11 rounds, and his character has been defamed by this, pretty much.
Yeah, and I, and again, this is the... I think Fools is right. They've got to do something, but you're right, Pete, because there's been more than that one occasion where there's been false accusations, and you know it's gone through the courts, and basically the player has been found not guilty and nothing to answer for. I suppose it's on the flip side, if something does actually come through and they do get charged, then the NRL look like they've done absolutely nothing. And particularly, you know, unfortunately, a lot of these crimes and a lot of these accusations are against women, which is the major problem that is happening in the code. The NRL has been trying for years to clean up the image of the game for families and for, you know, and for women. And unfortunately, this keeps coming up. And all, most of the, you know, apart from Dylan Napper, most of the incidents are against women, which is,
of course,
and which again, I suppose, you know, they are, I think they're doing the right thing by erring on the side of caution. But unfortunately, there is, you know, it can be that false, those false claims that we do see. Like, yeah, Sean Kennedy Dow was another example.
Yeah, you look at the body of evidence, Greg Bird, Blake Ferguson, Mitchell Pearce, like, there's a huge body of evidence of players doing things against women and other people, and Jack Whiten, who have been found guilty of doing stuff that this has not happened. And so you've got a huge body of evidence, and then the people on the other side of the false accusations. And one of the ones caught up, Hazem El Masri, which is probably one of the most devastating ones, because he lost a ambassadorial role as a, you know, a domestic violence, you know, and violence against women advocate because of false accusations. Has anyone done anything about that since then? No, they've just swept him under the carpet, which is absolutely, you know, disgraceful.
Absolutely. Well, he was one of them.
He was held up as a role model and still should be a role model. He's done the right thing the whole way through, and his whole reputation had been tarnished because of that. And now it's just like, oh, just go away, Hazem. Like, we know you're not guilty.
Yeah, but
there were no issues, but just go away now.
Yeah.
Minimum 11 years sentence. Like, in the ACT, you've got to murder like 400 people on CCTV. Yeah, and still you'll get like 4 weeks good behavior.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, they had to do something. As you mentioned, Jack DeBellin, that's going to be the real test. So the first guy where it comes back that either there was not enough evidence or whatever, who's been stood down, and if they go pursuing something like defamation or wrongful suspension or whatever, that's where this rule gets tested.
Yeah, I think it's in a little bit of trouble here. And I think they've gone too far the other way. They've had to do something, though. They dug their own grave here. Like, they dug their own grave after doing nothing for years and years and years and years. The message isn't getting through to NRL players either. Like, this stuff keeps happening.
Exactly
so
right.
The message isn't getting through. So you probably have to be harsher, because it's not getting through to Dylan Walker. It's not getting through to Ben Barber. And they keep doing stuff like this.
Yeah. That Dylan Walker thing was absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, it's disgusting. And
horrible.
Absolutely disgusting. And same with Ben Barber. Like, absolutely disgusting.
But the way that Dylan Walker has now gotten off, because his partner has then sort of recalled.
Yeah, exactly.
So, no, that's not right.
I know, absolutely. So, yeah, look, it's an interesting one, and I'm all for cleaning the game up and doing something. The question is, if Jack DeBellin was cheating on his partner with this person, like, you're already doing the wrong thing, man. Like, you're already doing the absolute wrong thing.
Yeah.
So you put yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time, and then, you know, something like this has happened. Well, I'm not saying you deserve this. I'm just saying that you've just made bad decision decision. Like,
you've created a horrible scenario for you to actually be a part of.
Of your own doing.
That's
like,
right.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, and if he is falsely been accused, I think the person should be pursued. But if he's done the wrong thing, he absolutely should be pursued as well. So, anyway, it's an interesting one that we'll probably be talking about for the next 11 weeks or 12 weeks until DeBellin is cleared to play again. I think it's a while before he...
Well, his court case has now been delayed for another 4 weeks. So he was trying to play week one this week, but court case has been delayed for another 4 weeks. So his appeal literally is, I think he's going to be out for at least 4 weeks at the very minimum.
Anyway. All right, boys, let's move on, shall we, to, for the first time this year, our old mate Bill and Bill.
Smashing me, that could have put him in Ward 4.
The sports trenches.
I hope not, Bill. That's a maternity ward.
Ward 4.
Ah, yes, the maternity ward. Old Rangers knows all about that at the moment. Anyway, a couple of people that are out at the moment. Nofaluma for the Tigers, he's out with a shoulder injury for 2 to 4 weeks. Isaac Luke, also struggling to recover from his shoulder injury, out 1 to 3 weeks. Joe Stimson got a back injury. He's going to be out for a couple of weeks. Mason Lenoir, he's got a knee problem. He's out for 4 weeks. Tom Tabojevic, hamstring. Says round three. I wouldn't be surprised if he's fit for round two. Scott Drinkwater has a pec injury. He's out until round 14.
Would you like some?
Drinkwater?
Yeah. Do you want a glass of Drinkwater?
Drinkwater? Yeah, no. I need to clear out the throat. I'll just use this water I've got in front of me.
It's a good health message.
It's the bubbles water.
Bubbles, and it's been fermented a little bit. Manu Ma'u, knee injury, out until round six.
It's going to be very strange where there's six rounds of NRL with no tries.
Well, no first try scorers.
No try scorers at all.
Right, okay. Well, what about Felice Corfu?
Oh, that's true. There'll be six games with tries.
Okay. Right. Viliami Kikau, he's got a knee injury. He's out until round four. Corbin Sims has been suspended. He's out until round three. Kyle Felt has a groin injury. He's out for an undetermined time at this point in time. Ryan Hall, knee injury, which we knew about for the Roosters. He's out until round eight. And Chris Lawrence, I don't know if you guys saw this. He's got a broken jaw. His face, like, it blew up like it, like he was, you know...
was it in the trial?
Nathan Tinkler. Like, he did not look good.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm taking it back. No, this was at training when they were playing the Warriors in New Zealand, I think, for their preseason match.
Oh, right.
He had a training mishap. I don't know what the mishap was.
And he comes out looking like James Packer.
And he, looked, no, Kerry Packer, like much rounder, much more rotund.
Like he did not Mr. Incredible.
He was not good. So anyway, he's out. It's to be determined as well, but you'd assume he's out at least 4 to 6 weeks. And that's all we've got. So let's go to the round one preview, shall we?
The Sports Trench.
Oh, look at you. You're getting better
Don't
already.
Don't you worry about
Double
me,
Double episodes, and look at you.
The talent juice has kicked in. I'm on fire.
All right, round one preview time.
Damn it.
Thursday, 14 March, Storms v. the Broncos at Amy Park. Muffy, I will just say it before you start, Muffy.
Yes.
Giving you a little more time. Blockbuster to start the year.
Well, would you expect anything less, Pete?
I think there's only one game better than this in the round.
And that's the next game?
The following evening.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, so for the Storms, Billy Slater is out, boys.
Oh, big is shot. He just?
Yep. Jerome.
Still get 3 points.
Jerome Hughes has nabbed the fullback spot, which was a tight tussle between him and Drinkwater, but then Drinkwater got injured. So Kenny Bromwich starts in place of the injured Joe Stimson, as Pete mentioned, is out with a back injury. Do you want to know any notable other changes in these squads? They're all about Jack Bird is back for the Broncos after being out. Matt Gillett, as we've mentioned in our previous show, he returns from a neck injury, looking a little bit thin.
He's very slim.
But going to play at lock, named at lock, so he'll be there.
He hasn't been in the paddock.
Alex Glenn and Jaden Suar start in that second row. Young gun David Fifita is on the bench. Big raps on him, along with Tafita Pangai Jr. Thoughts that he may not start, but he's now on the bench in number 17. And another rookie will start on the bench too. Tom Fliegler will start on the bench for the Broncos. Look, I don't know. Can you not go the Storm? I think round one, first game, you know, team that lost the grand final, I think I just have to go the Storms by six.
That's exactly what I've got. I've gone the same thing. I think at home and they'll be ready to play. So the Storms always come out ready to play, and they have quite a good record against the Broncos, one of the few teams that does.
Mm. Whatever try you guys think they're converting, they are not, but they are winning by four.
You're not backing in their goal kicker.
Nah.
You know their goal kicker's Cameron Smith.
Six
probably,
is ridiculous. Okay, they'll win by four.
You know he's probably one of the best goal kickers ever.
Nah, he's awful.
Okay, right. Okay, moving on. Friday, 15 March, Knights v. the Sharks at McDonald Jones Stadium in a game that I think is going to be a very good game, boys. Edric Lee, Heimel Hunt, Jesse Ramien, David Clemmer, James Gavay, and Tim Glasby all start for the Knights, all moved into the squad this year. And Kurt McMahon is the bench utility, giving them a number of NRL quality players, except for Edric Lee.
I was going to say, how does Edric Lee keep getting a starting spot? This is phenomenal.
Mate, he cost us a grand final spot.
He's very tall, though.
He cost the Raiders a grand final
spot.
He's
very tall.
I will never forgive him for dropping the ball cold.
He's quite athletic.
Twice. Anyway, this means also that Barnett is on the bench, which is huge news because he was excellent for them last year and is a really good player. That gives you a squad that actually has some depth when you've got now Bura and SASA named in the reserves. They're not even named in the starting group. Like, this is a really good night squad. For the Sharks, Sean Johnson obviously lines up at 5'8 for his new club. Breton Nicora and Kurt Capewell have been named as the second rowers, obviously because Wade Graham is still out and Luke Lewis is gone. Blake Braley is going to make his debut off the bench, which is Jaden Braley's brother. Would you believe that?
Is he a hooker as well?
I think he is. So I think there might be a bit of a timeshare there. I think this is an interesting matchup. I really think the Knights could win this game if they're ready to go. And they generally will be based on last season. They were pretty up and about to start the year. I'm just not willing to bet against the Sharks pack to start the year. I think that Sharks pack is still very, very dominant. And I like David Clemmer for the Knights, but I think Fifita, Sharon, Pryor, and Gallen, I think those guys are excellent. So I'm going to go the Sharks by four. But if the Knights win, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, looking on paper, you would have to say the Sharks because that side is quite good. I don't know. I think Knights, first game at home, they're going to get a sellout crowd there in Newcastle. The fans are fantastic up there. Look, you know, pretty much a rejig backline in this team. I'm going to go the Knights just because I just think the hype is going to be big for them, and I think the crowd will get them home. I'm going to go the Knights by 8.
Sharks on a Sean Johnson field goal.
Ooh, Sharks by 1.
Sharks by 1.
No confidence. All right. Friday, 15 March, Roosters v. the Rabbitohs at the SCG. Concerns about the ground, Fulzy?
Oh, no. The ground will be immaculate, excellent. I'm told, by that time.
Blockbuster.
I agree, Pete. This is the blockbuster. This is the one we want to see. A lot of people will be keen to watch this matchup. A lot of people have these teams coming in the top four, if not one and two. Interestingly, for Sydney City, still call them that.
They're not Sydney City.
Interestingly, for Sydney City, Mitchell Orbison has been named
Eastern Suburbs.
For Eastern Suburbs, Mitchell Orbison has been named to start over Angus Crichton, which possibly will change by game day, but
maybe. But Robinson's not a Maguire.
Yeah, it poses an interesting question. Are you going to play Crichton and Cordner, ADH, or Radley? Either way, I think the Roosters, I like them to win this game. Not by much, but I like them to win this game, and I think by 4.
I've apparently tipped the Rabbitohs by 6, and I don't even know why. I don't even think I should. I don't think I'm changing it. I'm going the Roosters by 4. I think they're too good a side, and that's just dumb. So I'm going the Roosters, and I'll make sure I do that when we do our footy tips later.
Yeah. Just one thing on the Crichton thing. I could be wrong, but it may be the fact he's playing his old team first up. He may come in 20 minutes into the game. The sting's gone out of the game a little, so he's not a target. Possibly, I don't know.
Rumour has it that he's still recovering from his shoulder issue.
Yeah, okay.
That's according to a friend of the show who told me this.
Okay, good. So possibly that could be a reason, but I would think that it'd be very few games that Angus Crichton would not start and play a massive role for this team. Look, Roosters, again, I think these are two good sides on paper, but defending premiers, you've got to go with them first up and then by 4.
Mm, yeah, I agree. Corey Allen on the bench.
Yeah, that's odd. I would be surprised.
Do you reckon Inglis doesn't play a full 80?
I don't think you can, unless they get blown out, I don't think you can not play Inglis the 80.
I just don't know why you've got a guy who's a fullback, 5'8 winger type player as your, you know, person sitting on the bench there.
Yeah, I don't like, unless...
Oh. Unless he's going to play him in Cook's spot, which I can't see.
Well, that'd be the only other option. I don't like this putting a back on the bench just in case, just cause.
No, I just think, I don't think it's just in case. I don't know if Inglis is going to play the full 80. And I think they want to ease Corey Allen in.
Possibly.
Yeah. Having said that, I could see Corey Allen slotting in to that side somewhere in that starting lineup.
Well, if they move someone. Well, if the Alex Johnson fullback experiment doesn't work and Inglis is not fullback ready, then there could be a possibility.
Mm. Anyway. All right, moving on to Saturday, 16 March, Warriors versus the Bulldogs at Mount Smart. Fulzy, you're back up again.
Yeah, Pete, for every blockbuster, there is an anti-blockbuster. And this is the
re-blockbuster.
No, this is... Return it straight away. Don't watch it. This is the anti-blockbuster. This is why Blockbuster is going out of business.
No, I think it went out of business.
Oh, well, thank goodness.
Now, wasn't it last week, the last one closed in Australia, it was in WA or somewhere.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, I digress. Move on. Mm.
Isaac Luke is out, and so is Papali, allegedly for a drink driving incident. I don't love this Warriors team on paper. The bigger mission for the Dogs is Reece Martin, of course, which we've discussed. I still think the Warriors get it done at Mount Stupid.
Mount Stupid.
Mount Stupid. Not Mount Smart this year.
So you think Freese Martin is, been in the paddock too long as
well? Well, apparently he looks like he ate a second rower.
He ate David Clemmer on the way.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Dogs can challenge here, but I think Warriors will put on some points against guys like Montoya, Holland, Crichton.
Yeah, I've got the Warriors by 8, but I don't believe it at all. I don't know what I was thinking when I wrote it down.
Yeah, look, I'm going to tip the Bulldogs just because. But Fulzy's right. I do not feel confident in that back four holding out the likes of Fusatua, Hiku, and Kata and Mamalo. It doesn't bode well.
No, you're probably right.
I
like my bet more now.
Yeah, I'm going to go the Dogs, but, I'm going to have to go on by 4, but I wouldn't be surprised if they get done by 20.
All right, good. Saturday, 16 March, Tigers versus the Seagulls at Leichhardt Murphy.
Oh, that's me. Gotcha.
for that.
So Moses Mbai and Nofaluma are going to be out. They're both, one's got a knee, one's got a shoulder. Corey Thompson's going to start at fullback. Manahi Fanua and Robert Jennings are on the wings. And the former Rooster, do you know how to say this? Paul
Momirovsky.
That's not bad. Mm. I was just going to go Momirovsky, but yeah, I think the accent works better. And Ryan Madison both will start. Luke Gardner replaces Chris Lawrence with his massive... What are we saying? We're saying a tinkler jaw. Out with tinkler jaw. In the second row. And Thomas Makili will make his debut off the bench. For the Seagulls, the barnstorming Brendan Elliott comes into fullback for the injured Tommy Turbo. I don't think they've lost anything
there.
That's
probably an upgrade.
Yeah, I don't think they've lost anything there at all. Rookie Ruben Garrick, he will go on the wing. So that could be a good one for super coaches later on down the track. Kane LG will come in and partner Cherry Evans in the halves. And Trent Hodkinson has been named on the interchange bench. So who knows what's going to happen there. Look, I've got both of these teams flagged at 14th and 15th. So this is the anti-blockbuster, I think. Look, let's go West Tigers because they don't have Tommy Turbo at the back. West Tigers by 8.
I've got the Tigers by 8. Yeah, I just don't rate the Seagulls.
Oh, the Tigers are coached by Maguire, but still, I'll give them Tigers by 2.
No Josh Reynolds. It's probably a good thing for the Tigers.
Yeah, no Josh Reynolds. Yeah,
Benji's, not when you're paying him what he's on.
Benji's in at 5'8", back to his old 5'8".
Yeah, that's true.
Benji's was very good.
Benji's in, Farrah's in. Like, it's very 2005, this team.
Yeah.
And they're going on a run like that too. Saturday, 16 March, Cowboys versus the Dragons at 1300 Smiles. First time we get to say that this year. For the Cowboys, Jordan Kahu starts at fullback, obviously, after the switch from the Broncos. Jarvid Bowen, Tom Opacic, Nene McDonald are in that back group with Jussie O is the only holdover as Kyle Felt's injured. Tamari Martin has made that last spot instead of Jake Clifford. who had a pretty starring role in the preseason trials. Josh Maguire off the bench, boys. That's very interesting, considering he was, you know, playing in the 13 role for Australia last year and the year before. I know you've got Tal Malolo, who is like the number one 13. Surely you put some, you get Josh Maguire into a prop or something. Like, you get him into that squad.
Do you put Scott? You bring Scott.
I think you bring Scott off the bench.
Scott off the bench as an impact older player. Yeah,
or Cohen Hess off the bench.
Like, I think Cohen Hess can play 80 minutes in a strong 80 minutes.
I think Matt Scott would be served better being that elder statesman off the bench now at this point in his career.
I think giving him two stints at, you know, come in at 20 minutes gone and then, or even just go 20 minutes. Then halftime, go another 20 minutes. So play 40 minutes, but have the halftime as your break. Yeah, I think that.
I think it's a waste of Josh Maguire. I think moving Tal Malolo to an edge to bring Maguire in at, you know, lock, and then to move one of those edge back rowers, which will probably be Hess or who's the other edge?
Gavin Cooper.
Cooper's
playing 80.
It's a pretty good. It's a pretty good problem to have. It's a horrible.
It's kind of a good problem to have, but I think, you know, like, I think Matt Scott's the guy who actually has to make way.
I think Matt Scott probably should put up his hand and say, look, even though he's an absolute warrior and wants to keep playing, I think for the team, I think he would be better suited coming in off the bench.
And it could be very impactful off the bench.
Absolutely.
Going against those tired guys and stuff like that.
Interchange player of the year, potentially.
Do you see a role? I could kind of see something playing out like Scott and McLean start, Scott plays the first 15, Maguire comes on, Scott plays the last 15, he plays 30, and McLean plays 50?
That's 90 minutes you're playing them.
No.
30 and 50.
I just want to make you think to see if you got it right. So good at maths.
Maybe.
Oh, I'm maths, McGee.
Like, Maguire, again, is another guy who probably plays 60 a game anyway. Like, I don't know. I think putting him on the bench is strange.
Just put him in at centre and get rid of Jussie O.
That's true. I wouldn't be mad about that.
That's not that Jussie. Silly.
for the Dragons, Gareth Widdop is moving to fullback, obviously, with the signing of Corey Norman. Mikaeli Ravalawa. I think that's right.
I'll allow it. Yep.
Mikaeli?
I'll go Mikaeli.
I reckon it's Mikaeli. The way it is. All right. Ravalawa is named to debut on the wing. Jacob Hoste also starts in the back row, but that probably changes if Jack DeBellin somehow comes back in. I don't think he's in the squad long term, particularly with Frizzell, who's in lock at the moment. Both of these teams have pretty weak benches when you look at it. Maguire obviously is very strong for the Cowboys, but I don't think outside of that both teams have strong benches. But the packs are going to go at each other, and they're going to provide fireworks. If Jack DeBellin was there as well, it'd be a huge, huge pack battle. Both back lines, I think, the Dragons have the stronger back line, but I think the Cowboys at home to start the year. I'm going to go the Cowboys by four.
And Matt Dufty's named on the bench for the Dragons. I can only assume that is what you're saying, Pete, with the big forward battle. He's going to come in at hooker for 15
he's
minutes.
He's going to be the new Kurt Mann, which is an absolute waste.
Absolutely waste. But, I mean, if anyone can tear up the middle of the field when there's tied forwards, he can make anyone look very, very slow.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. All right, what do you got, Muffy?
It's hard to go past the Cowboys at this time of year up there, still nice and warm. They're acclimatized. Yeah, I've got the Cowboys by 8.
Time for a statement by the Cowboys by 16.
What?
Yep.
It's the first game of the year.
Yep, statement. They're coming out and smashing them.
Whoa, yep. Statement. All right, statement game. Early statement. Sunday, 17 March, Panthers versus the Eels at Panthers Stadium.
Not even a contest, this one, surely.
Yeah, Eels by 50. For the Panthers.
Statement.
Statement. A statement game. Jake Hetherington starts in place of Viliame Kikau. Dylan Edwards is the fullback, meaning DWZ's on the wing. Tyrell Fuimiono and Harmy Seeley will come off the bench. For the Eels, they've got Maker Sivo, who's out on the wing, and Dylan Brown, obviously, who's the 5'8", who is rated very highly. Sean Lane and Marata Nakore also start in the second row because of Manu Ma'u's injury. And Junior Paulo also is in that starting side with Blake Ferguson. I can't see the Eels beating the Panthers, despite the fact that they've got a pretty much a whole new lineup out there, other than King Clint. And I'm going to go the Panthers by 12 in a statement game to start the year.
12?
Yeah.
That's barely an apostrophe game.
That's not a statement. That's not an exclamation game. It's an apostrophe game.
Nah. 22.
Fair enough.
I think the Panthers should make a statement in this game. But again, playing against, you know, against their old foes, the Eels, I think it'll be relatively tight. I'm going to go 10, Panthers by 10.
This game last year, the Eels were up at halftime, killing the Panthers, and the wheels fell off, and their season fell off in game one of the year. Yeah. Like, the Eels lost this game after absolutely dominating to start, and it just all fell apart.
Well, it's great to see Mansour actually going to start a season. It feels like he hasn't done that for like three seasons.
Oh, he'll be injured in the first 10 minutes. Don't worry. He'll be gone again. All right. Sunday, 7-8 March. Tytoons v. the Raiders at Seba Super Foolsy.
Bryce Cartwright.
Good input, gosh.
Yeah, moving on. Michael Gordon won the fullback spot.
So he should.
I like a lot. I'm a big Michael Gordon fan. Bryce Cartwright did not win the second row spot. Ryan James is tipped to be fit for this game.
Do you know what Bryce Cartwright did win, though? He won a lifetime of polio in
me. Yeah, he did, for his children. Yeah. Everyone out there, just don't be like Bryce Cartwright, all right? He's a very silly man.
He won the Rebella Award.
I nearly went the wrong way. I still think Gold Coast can do this. Up in Seabus, I think Gold Coast might get it by two.
The head says the Titans up at home, but I'm going to go with the heart to start the year, and then when they break it, I'll just be back to my normal self next week. Raiders by six.
Someone, regardless of who wins, someone is blowing a 20-point
lead. Who's Bailey Simonson, by the way, Pete? Who's he named on the wing for the Raiders? Who's he?
Yeah, to be honest, I haven't seen much of him, and I can't tell you anything, Muffy, until we watch him this week.
Right. With the addition of a couple of Englishmen, it's got to be the Raiders for me. Raiders by six.
Well, they've got some Englishmen in the side.
Fulzy, you want to tell him which ones?
Oh, a couple good Englishmen there, mate.
Oh, what was this? There you go.
Too many Batemans, though. You can't have that many Batemans in the one team. That's ridiculous.
I think they've just got two.
Imagine if the whole world was Bateman's Bay.
Imagine if
that'd be rough.
If they added a Matthew and a Mark, and then they'd have a Luke and a John. And
oh, God. Full Old Testament.
Oh, dear. All right. Well, that probably brings us to the end of the preview, lads. Jeez, we busted through that.
It's good.
Not much to talk about, to be honest.
We're very good.
Yeah.
And we've got something to talk about for a long time. So I know a couple of our listeners, shout out to Steve Deedy, is probably going to turn off for the next probably 25 minutes whilst the Supercoach.
Our unofficial sponsor may also tune out because he's not a big
Supercoach. Yeah, he's not a Supercoach fan either.
But stay tuned. Stay tuned.
All right, let's go. Let's do this. Supercoach time.
The Sports Trenches Fantasy Overview.
Boys, it's back. Supercoach time. And we've got a couple of leagues again, which is good. And I've posted them on the Facebook page.
Also, and on the Twitters.
And yes, you've retweeted.
I did a retweet.
You have zero followers, so that's not real good.
Are they full, or we still got spots?
I have nine followers.
Have we got spots on the leagues?
I'll check that as we go through.
Probably tell the people now so they can join, so save listening to the rest of us.
Well, no, they need to know what we're going to do throughout the year. Anyway, let's talk some must-have cheapies for the year, boys. And I'm going to start with center wing. Feel free to jump in. I think Nickel Klokstad is an absolute must-have cheapie. He's a bit above cheapie price, but he's not bottom dollar. But I really like him as a player. I liked him at the Warriors, and I think playing fullback to start the year for the Raiders, I think he could be in for a big start to the year. Corey Allen, having said that, he's been named on the bench and Uncle Wayne's playing some tricks, I think. But he's another one to keep an eye on. Obviously, Nakora Ravalawa, who's been named, but I'm very concerned about Lomax because Zach Lomax is an absolute gun.
Yeah.
And I don't know why Ravalawa has been named in front of him.
This is my theory. Mm. One of Laffey or Aitken are getting dropped. And they're going to suss out which one.
Really?
That's my conspiracy theory. I think they're throwing up which one is gone.
I'd be dropping Lafoy. Having said that, he had a great year last year.
Yeah, I suppose, but you know, Aiken's got more potential. You've seen what Lafoy can do. You know what you've got. Where Aiken is still a younger guy that'll, you know, get better as a centre as he gets a bit older.
Mm. Another one is Ruben Garrick, but I'm very concerned about Turbo coming back and then them shifting players out, and so Garrick then falls out of that squad.
Yeah, traditionally you don't go from fullback to out of the squad, do you? You go from fullback to wing, and then the winger.
Brendan Elliott to wing, yeah, that's the key issue there. So I'm very concerned about Garrick, and I'm more than willing to not start with him and wait and see. And if I have to bring him in for someone else, then I will. The other one is Sivo, obviously, for the Eels. He's another one. Other than that, boys, is there any other cheapies other than the mid-rangers, which we'll get to later?
Well, the only other one, which we literally mentioned in the team list, is Bailey Simonson. Depending on how far Rapana is out for, you might get him for 5-6 weeks.
I've got a real big problem that if you have Nickel Klokstad and you have potentially...
Well, you've got Michael Oldfield, you've got...
Bateman, you've also got Abby. Oldfield and Abby waiting, and then you've got this young kid. Again, I'm willing to wait the 2 weeks to see if he's going to have a big price rise, and if I have to do some shifting around, I will.
Apparently, he is filling a spot for Oldfield, who is filling a spot for Rapana, and that scares me off enough.
Yeah. So, Pete, out of those cheapies, who would be the two that you would lock in?
I think Nakora is absolute locked in.
Yep.
I think with him playing in that second row for the Sharks whilst Wade Graham is out, Nickel Klokstad's probably the other one I would definitely have. The other ones that are, that scare me are Ravalawa, Garrick, like as we said. Sivo's maybe the other one. But I don't know. Like that Eels side as well is a little bit iffy.
So does Jordan Kahu fall as a cheapie? He's very similar price.
He's 240 odd, something like that.
Isn't he 280?
270 something.
Is he?
Right. Yeah, I think he's in that mid range boat. I think Nickel Klokstad's 220. Yeah,
260 something.
Well, then I'd have Kahu as well. I think Kahu's a must have.
Yeah. I think cash cows for this is anyone under 200. Like,
I think...
Like the proper rookies.
I think you have to have both Kahu and Nickel Klokstad, though. I think both of the... I think you go cheap in your centre wings and you have zero guns this year because there's a lack of cheapies anywhere else. So I think you have to do it. Anyway.
Agreed.
Good.
All right, moving on. We'll go to the second row forwards, front row forwards, Fulsey.
Oh, very slim pickings here. It and is. You already stole the one good guy.
What do you mean I stole him?
Well, Nakora is Jewel in the second row. He's a must. I think you'd put him in your centre wing.
To be honest, if you want to fit another cheapie in your centre wing, you put him in your second row.
Yeah, either or. But it's pretty rough going. Host, he may or may not have that role for a few rounds. I think he's worth a shot. Kamika Mika, I'm not sold on from the Storm, but he could be worth a shot. I'm giving Lachlan Burr a go.
Is it Cam Kamika or Kamika Mika?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's Cam Kamika.
Is it Kamika Mika a horse?
I think it's Kamehameha.
Oh, yeah, it's Kamehameha.
Which could be devastating or just take like 15 weeks to develop.
You're an idiot. Absolute idiot.
Anyway. He's interesting, but I just... Storm, bench prop, nah, I'm not into it. Burr, I'm happy enough to chuck him in from round one. I know the 13 jersey is definitely not permanent, but I think he might have a decent role off the bench and get 35, 40 minutes.
I don't think he is. I think he's in trouble.
But I love him as a player. Like he has got the best. He's got one of the best motors going in. Like he played reserve grade pretty much while his whole time at the Dogs. He is an amazing player in that reserve grade. He's going to be a good club player at first grade level, and I think if he can, you know, the first couple of weeks, if he can make a name for himself in the Warriors, I think there's a fair chance that he can stay into that starting side.
You were much higher on Reece Martin last year, which you talked me into, rather than Lachlan Burr. So,
Reece Martin's an absolute gun, and he will come back out of that paddock. Don't you worry, Pete.
Reece Martin, yeah. Anyway, Yeah, I don't know. I'm very concerned about Lachlan Burke.
I think you kind of have to have him, though, with all the other rubbish.
I'd rather have Kamehameha. Like.
Do you think, though? I think Jesse Bromwich, I'm not backing it, but I think Bromwich could have a bigger year than last year.
Jesse Bromwich?
Yeah. Play a few more minutes. Kenny will rotate through the front row. No. I don't know. The only other guy I had is Flegler for the Broncos. He's complete base price. He's dual. I don't know if he'll get much burn.
The problem is, what's his face who's suspended for four rounds or whatever it is for not?
Payne Haas.
Yeah.
But he could be a straight swap.
So Payne Haas, that's the other one. You've got to
get one price, right? It's like, I'd wait and then just bring Payne Haas in for someone who's either going to drop or...
I honestly think this year is so terrible for cheapies, you just take a shot and see what happens.
What about the Raiders bench guy, the Horsburgh?
Nah.
Number 17. Nah. Traditionally, Ricky will give him two minutes for the first couple of games.
That's garbage. There's no reason to pick that guy.
Yeah, I think if you're in the 17 jersey in a forward for the Raiders, you're in trouble.
Yeah, and if no one's ever heard of you, you're done. So those would be my cheapies. My must-have is also the same as Pete's.
A shout-out to Andrew.
But
Andrew,
I guess if I had to go another one, it would be or Host.
Right. Yeah, I think Host might actually have a more solid... base there.
Well, based on the situation, the DeBellin situation, I think, you know, it could work in his favour if that's, you know, if that works out how we think it's going to work out. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right, moving on to the halves and the hookers, Muffy. You're all about halves and hookers.
Halves and hookers, yeah. Okay, so obviously there's
got him.
there's two must-haves, I think, and they're halfbacks and 5'8" alternate, so they're dual position. You can put them anywhere. So Dylan Brown for the Eels, you put him at 5'8" or halfback, and then Adam Keehan, is that how we say that?
I would have thought it's Kieran.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Right, let's do that.
Dale Kerrigan.
Yeah, so Adam Keehan for the Warriors. They're both bottom dollar. You literally slot them in as your reserve 5'8", your reserve halfback. Let them grow, never play them, and see what happens. To me, they're the two locks for your halves. I think you don't have to look any further than that.
No, yeah, I think that's it. I don't think there's any other cheapies there, to be honest.
Yeah.
Hookers? And
for the hookers, it's a little difficult because there's not really any really cheap hookers. Everyone's talking about Reid Mahoney for the Eels, and he's like, what, 330 or something? So yeah. he's not...
He's probably in that mid-range bracket.
But there's not really many other... There's no cheap hookers apart from Nathaniel Roach, but obviously Luke is injured for this week. Fair chance he's going to be back the following week. So, yeah, Roach is probably a no-go as well. Mm. Hookers are difficult. It's not... There seems to be... like, obviously, we'll touch on some cash cows later, but there's a couple of guys that are right up there and probably maybe overpriced for what they are. There's a lot of mid-rangers in the hooker spot, so... I couldn't find any real sort of cheap ones apart from Roach, but again, I that would be a no-go for me.
Mm. No, fair enough. I agree. Any other cheapies that we can think of, lads? Anyone else you don't think we really covered off?
There's one person
One
that I found in this list. Now, he's probably never going to play this year. He's bottom dollar.
That's a bad start.
He's bottom dollar.
It's not great, but...
He's a bottom dollar. He's a hooker. He plays for South Sydney, and I think we need a campaign to get him to the Raiders, Fulzy.
Okay.
Do you know what his name is?
Oh, my gosh. Is his last name British?
Close. His first name is Billy, and his last name is Britton.
Oh, my God.
Billy Britton.
He's perfect.
And I think he's as Aussie as they come, but the name was absolutely sensational. Oh. So if you've got a spare spot for a non-playing player, Billy Britton's your man.
Not at all. Not even
lock him
bit.
In. I'm already sold, actually.
That's dumb. All right. If you must have guns, boys, let's move on to that. And first off, we got Muffy. You've got the fullbacks, my friend, and I think it's pretty simple.
I think it's pretty easy, isn't it? Teddy, of course, starts the season. Turbo has to be there at some point. You either sort of wait and get him in when he comes back. The other two, and I think
I'm going to wait until after Origin for him.
Really? Mm. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. So Teddy, I think Teddy is an absolute must for every team. The other one that I've put in the gun category for me is RTS.
Yeah, look.
Two of us are Sheck. Like, I think he's the only other one that I would, fullback-wise, that I would probably put in the gun status.
You know what? Yeah, I agree. I think I've got someone in the level below who I'm probably going to pick, which is Matt Moylan. I'm going to pick
him
to start the year. I think he's probably just below gun level, but I think he could achieve that.
To me, I think...
And I could swap to him. Ponga is the other one, maybe.
If Ponga was at fullback, absolutely he would be there in the gun list.
Mm.
Just the unknown at 5'8". Not quite sure how his score will be affected by that. It could, you know, it could stay that. Like, I think he's that good, he'll find a way to get the
pile on the points.
Yeah. Mm. So I think that's the other option. But for traditional fullbacks, I think they're
it's dead in turbo. Like, you'd want them there.
And I think RTS is the other one that comes in. Yep.
All right. Moving on to the halves and hookers. You like halves and hookers, don't you, Fulzy?
Oh, God, I do, Pete. God, I do. What do you want to hear about first?
The guns, mate. That's what we're talking
just
about.
Just hookers. I just want
to
hear all
to about hookers it. First?
Yeah.
All right, I'll tell you something about hookers. So Cook and Smith are probably the two out-and-out guns here.
Yeah.
There's also a few very interesting guys, and you guys actually talked me into picking one today, and that's Hodgson and McCullough. You both made very good points about how Usain Bolt's teams play around their hooker a lot. He probably will play 80 McCullough. So I think I'm going to bring him in. But yeah, Damien Cook's obviously, I don't know. Do you want to spend that much cash? The premium option.
I think it's Smith or Hodgson for me.
Well, and just looking at a couple of the preseason games, again, yes, it's preseason, so you probably expect him not to play full 80 minutes. But I think that's got a few people a bit worried about the role that he will play in round one and onwards. I've got a feeling that he won't be an 80 minute hooker.
Uncle Wayne
consistently.
Uncle Wayne doesn't like 80 minute hookers.
But the flip side is everyone worrying about nothing, and you start without him, and he's still at 80.
But
plus.
I don't think you're going to lose much cash on him if you start without him. It's just trying to get the money to buy him again.
Yeah, but it's the points you lose early, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to...
It's a tough one.
Yeah. I think I'd be much more confident going in with McCullough over for the price difference over Cook.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. All right, then let's go to the halves then, Fulzy.
The halves...
Who's your must-have gun half?
Oh, I don't know if there is.
There's one.
I think would... If I had to... choose one, it'd be Cleary.
No.
Are you going Sean Johnson?
Yeah. It is Sean Johnson.
You reckon he's the must-have?
Goal kicking, he's always the must-have. Every year he's
Cleary is also always the must-have. Averaged more last year. Also goal Sean kicking, Johnson. No confusion with Maloney. Better coach.
I think Cleary's coming off that injury. He's a worry at the moment.
There's also Munster could take a bigger role. I also have, obviously, I have Sean Johnson as one of the guns. DCE is an interesting option. Walker's an interesting option, depending on what way you want to go. I also think Milford will end up in
Milford
that group,
is my
but
other one.
I was cautious about whether he's a mid-ranger or not.
No, he's a gun. Milford is my other person that I'm definitely going to have. I'm going to have Sean Johnson and Milford to start.
I have Cleary and Milford to start.
Yeah, I'm going with the Cleary and Milford. That's what I've started with. My team may change between now and Thursday.
I'm just concerned about that Cleary injury.
I think if you go...
And I think Jimmy Maloney does a lot of stuff in attack, and I think that sometimes takes away from what Cleary does.
It hasn't seemed to have affected his scores yet.
I don't know.
Again,
I don't know.
Being the goal kicker helps his...
Yeah.
Helps.
This is true.
Yeah.
It's kind of a nice luxury to have when you have two excellent goal kickers in your squad.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
All right, let's move on to the second row and front row forwards. I've gone with two out-and-out guns only that I think that you must have. I think there's obviously other ones, but I'm not going to have them. I think the two that I've got are Fifita and Taumalolo as my... second row, front row, forward guys. So that's the two.
Oh, okay. So you're going, yep.
They're the two.
So Tamalolo's only second row this year? Or is he both? Just second row?
Second.
Second.
Yeah.
Murray's an interesting one for me. I really like him, and moving into that starting lineup, I think he ends up being a gun.
I think you've got he's a mid-ranger that you have to have, I think.
Oh, I've got to have him. I think he's probably priced a bit above a mid-range, but I think you've got to have him. But Jake Trbojevic, I think, is overpriced. I think he's a must-have at some point. I think he's overpriced.
To me, he's one of the first guys in my team. He's got to be there. He's got to be there from the get-go. You're never going to get disappointed with what he does.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be disappointed to start the year. I think they're a bad squad. And I think
They're a bad squad, but that's good for him because he will put them on his shoulders and just go forward. Like, that's what he does.
And I think there's another front rower
Let's
there who will do
ask the
same. The
question, though, what does Dez do with his forwards?
Hopefully nothing different from last year.
Yeah. I think that old Jakey boy might be in for some time decreases.
I think the only good thing if you have him from the start is that's an easy downgrade.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, you're right. I think he loses some money and I'm looking to save some trades early on and bring him in for someone else.
So I have some questions.
Yeah, good.
Jai Arrow. Martin Taupau.
I think Jai Arrow is overpriced, and I think Martin Taupau is, you know what you're going to get. You have to have him at some point, but I don't think there's any point in getting him in early if you can get some mid-rangers. Because of the lack of cheapies, you need mid-rangers to make jumps this year. And so I think you need to hit the right mid-rangers, but that's what you need to do. Damn. And so this is different to other years when there's a plethora of cheapies, and you can just keep going cheapy after cheapy and gun heavy.
Mm.
I think this year you actually have to be very selective with the guns you choose and then use mid-rangers to
pick the right mid-ranger. Yeah.
So I think there's a few guns who I think everyone would ask about.
Mm.
Tohu Harris, Sam Burgess.
I'm concerned Sam Burgess going to an edge. His workload changes are... Having said that, I think also going to an edge could improve his attacking stats.
And he will definitely, you would think, play 80 minutes every game. You would think.
You would think so. Having said that, again, you look at that Brisbane team last year, and when you had guys like Alex Glenn and Fifita and Katoni Staggs and all those guys coming into that lineup, and you've got a similar looking bench for that Rabbitohs squad, maybe he does still get a rest. He got a rest last year, and he got rest numerous times last year. Still played 65 odd minutes and still legit gun. But I've just got some question marks there. Now, I could be going too cheap and I have to just go, you know, get some guns in because you've got to have points. You've got to weigh up points versus money versus, you know, versus guns and who you're going to keep to the end. So I haven't done that fully yet, but I've just got some concerns. Tohu Harris. Look, I love Tohu Harris. His injury history is now starting to worry me.
Who's kicking for New Zealand, by the way? Isaac Luke, maybe?
Maybe it's Isaac Luke, but he's out at the moment. Don't know, actually.
Just a random thought.
Sorry. Yeah. I don't know.
Blake Green doesn't kick, does he?
Oh, I think he has kicked.
Not well.
The only other one maybe is Tohu.
Well, who's that? Well, their other half might. He may be a kicker. We just don't know.
The young half.
Yeah.
Yeah. He might. He might actually be the kicker, which would be good for everyone's Supercoach team.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, moving on then to the centre wing, Fulzy. And I'm not sure there's any at the moment because I think the money is where is in centre wing. So are you going to have an out-and-out gun in the centre wing to start the year?
So I'll run you through who are the out-and-out guns. In my mind, the only guys are Masters, Croker, or Latrell Mitchell. And they're all guys who kick for their teams. But I think...
Mahe Fanua?
Not an out-and-out gun?
No,
you can't.
Ooh, he's a gun. I like
him. He's a gun, but you just can't do that from round one.
No, you probably can't.
I don't hate the idea, instead of having a gun, if you're going to spend that much money in your centre wing, as you said, I think the good idea is to go cheap. But if you're going to spend that money, I would take a couple of shots on guys who've been guns and fallen, and that would be guys like Mansour, Bird, Will Chambers, Vunivalu. Just take a shot.
I wouldn't be taking Will Chambers, but I don't mind the Jack Bird one. I think he could be in for a very big
year. Yeah, I think that's a good call. Can you believe that Edric Lee is priced higher than Josh Mansell?
If you...
I can't, but that's because I don't like Edric Lee.
That's where I think if you, instead of having an out-and-out gun, you go three of those kind of guys, hope someone like Chambers or Vunivalu goes on a roll early and sell them quick.
Yeah, I don't like Chambers at all. I think Chambers is a very bad call. Vunivalu, on the other hand, yes. But having said that, I got burned by him hard last year. And so, you know, it's once bitten, twice shy. So, yeah, I can't have him at this point in time. But I can see your argument definitely for Mansour and Jack Bird. And they would be interesting ones if you're very scared by some of those cheapies like Ravalawa, Garrick, Sivo.
Yeah. I think when in that vein, Fulzy, you look at guys like Curtis Scott is literally on the same money as Will Chambers. And for that attack, I'd probably lean towards Scott rather than Chambers. But again, not a proven gun whatsoever. Mm. So, yeah, it's difficult.
I just don't hate the dice roll of Chambers gets 85 week one, 65 week two, and then you sell him quite quickly, which is the kind of player he is. Same with Vunivalu. Possibly the same with some of those other guys. Because eventually I think I'd want Croker, Luttrell, Masters, and Rapana, probably.
Yeah, I think you can't argue with those four as being your gun goal at the end.
Absolutely not. No. So,
all right, let's move on then to the mid-rangers. We've discussed a few already. Second row, front row, forwards. Sean Lane?
I don't see it. So, I honestly don't. Like, over 500, I think it's ridiculous. I don't think he's done enough. I don't think he's done enough to warrant whatever this hype is about Sean Lane.
I like him. I do. I don't know, though. Yeah, I'm very concerned when I saw his price, and I'm not sure. He's one that's on my borderline.
I love it at 400. I hate it at what he's priced.
Well, considering that Cordner is literally at 20 grand more, like, to me, I'd be going Cordner if you've got 20 grand more to spend on a second rower than Sean Lane.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Sean Lane's got a little bit of upside there, but I could be very wrong. I just think Sean Lane's proved in the past that he can be a very attacking player and drop a couple of hundreds, and then, you know, you get rid of him and get a gun. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Particularly if you are looking to try get, for example, if I leave Sam Burgess out or something like that and I want to try get to him quickly, that may be a way to do that. Joe Offa-Hengawi?
Not for me.
Not for you?
Not for me.
Why not?
Too much
of a glut of forwards at the Broncos?
Yeah, especially big forwards. Especially big forwards.
Payne Haas comes back. He's probably one you want to have considering his bottom dollar price. Yeah, those young forwards named on the bench. It is a concern. He is starting, though. So...
Matt Gillette at a similar price point. Less, actually.
Yeah, I think Matt Gillette's a good option there, Fulzy. Absolutely.
Yeah, he's another one I'm concerned about for the same reasons. Playing lock, I don't see it. Why have you got like an Australian representative second rower playing lock after a neck injury?
But the thing is, he may not stay at lock. I think he will be in that. He'll be in that forward rotation, and he plays big minutes, as we know. So he may not stay at lock, I think. He may just move straight into the second row, but I think he'll be, you know, I think he'll play 60 minutes plus per game.
It's a similar thing to, you know, Sam Burgess moving to an edge, Jason Taumalolo moving to an edge. Like, it's very confusing.
I've got a couple of mid-rangers that I want to throw at you, Pete.
All right. Are they in the second row and front row? That's what we're talking about at the moment.
Well, they're second rowers.
Okay, good. Yep. One of the two. That's all we needed.
So, John Bateman for the Raiders, the new guy.
I like him.
At 400.
Yep.
I
like him if you put him in your centre wing.
Well, and this is what I'm getting at. Elliot Whitehead is another player that is second row centre wing. He's a bit dearer.
Yeah, he's a no-go.
He's a no-go.
No.
Adam Elliott for the Bulldogs. 370.
Is he available at centre wing?
No, this is second row.
Second row.
370. Playing at lock. I think he's a I don't know. Like,
I think he's as a footballer.
He's got a lot to prove, though. And I think, he said that, and I think he's got a big motor, and playing at lock, which is a new position for him, I think that he might play some big minutes.
I
this is
watch
my only,
him,
this
and
my
I, only I'm always disappointed by him. I don't think he bends the line. I don't think he has really a good attacking game.
He's the sort of guy that looks more impressive on the field, and then you look at his Supercoach stats, and he doesn't do a lot. I just think that there's going to be more minutes in him this year, which at 370, as a mid-ranger, there's potential. I'm not saying that he's locked in. It's just it's food for thought.
He's
for
in
me.
A bad squad. Nah, I can't see it. I'd rather have Dylan Napa in my front row as a almost borderline cheapie at 280, and that's like 90 grand less, and I think there's a bigger potential for a price increase there of 100 plus grand to jump to someone else.
I don't rate either player as a player, but I can see the upside in Elliott as opposed to Napa. I don't think he's going to make cash. Tolman will take those hit-ups. Tolman, Vitala Mariner, even Elliott will take those hit-ups.
Big call. I think Napa's in for a big year.
I don't know. He can't stay on the field. He's not a bright fella. He's going to hit someone in the jaw round three and get suspended for 6 weeks.
Very dare you. Big Puppy is a genius.
Big Puppy's pacifier as a child was made from asbestos. Like, he is not a bright
It wasn't lead based.
It was not. No, nah, it was harder. It was asbestos. He's not very smart. I can see. I personally will not be spending the money to do it, but I think Adam Elliott will make money and be playable.
Yeah, I'd rather take the risk on Napa for 90 grand less.
What about Paul Vaughan that's sitting under 500 to start the season as a front row?
Can't have him.
We don't have him?
Can't have him. He could probably do similar to last year or year before.
He was dominant.
Yeah, where he
but
got
he scored
up
like
to,
12 tries, didn't
that's
he?
That's the thing, where he got up to being dominant after being let go by the Raiders. Mm. I can't have him, and I would rather use the extra money if I had it to try get a gun in that I was going to keep. Yeah. I don't think you're going to keep Paul Vaughan.
No. Any of the twins? Any of the Burgess twins we're keen on?
No.
I think potential for Tom if he played more minutes, but he would be the only one.
For me, I'm penciled in Campbell Gillard this year. New coach.
Ooh, interesting.
430. Starting front row. I think he's got potential to make some cash.
I don't hate it.
Yeah.
So I've looked at my team. Maybe we're getting a bit off track, but I've looked at my team and I kind of feel there's no value whatsoever in the front row in Supercoach at all.
I feel like I
have to play two front rowers, but that's it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't disagree. I think there's probably someone else that I need to get in. I think Dylan Napa will be in my squad on my bench. As one of them.
Playable bench?
No. I won't play him. I'll have him there for money. All right. Moving on. Center wing. So that was the other one. This is where I think Bateman comes into the discussion. I think at 400K, you can definitely have Bateman there as a mid-ranger who potentially could jump up to 520K. And I think he's probably one you want to look at for that position. Admittedly, though, you can also have him in your second row as he plays that dual. So, again, if you've got some space and you want to go heaps cheap in the center wings, or you want to do what Foolsy said and potentially have a Jack Bird or a Mansour, someone you think who was a former gun and you need to make some space, I think there's too many question marks about a number of other guys in the second row, like Host and stuff like that, that you can potentially... downgrade Bateman if he's no good, and you can bring one of those guys in the first few weeks.
Yeah, for me, the center wing, it's all about dual position for me this year. I'm sort of tossing up from a few mid-rangers. I think Gutherson's got potential in the center wing as a fullback as well to swap out. Elliot,
is he a mid-ranger though?
Well, he's 430. That's
definitely mid-range. That's mid-range. Yeah. I'm very concerned about that Eels squad, though.
Yeah, for me, Elliot Whitehead as well, I think, is a must in the centre wing. For me, it may not fit everyone's structure, but for me, being a second rower, big minutes, I think he's one to look at.
I just don't see it. I don't think he's making you money, and he's just going to get you 50 every week. and you're not going to have him at the end.
Well, like, again, so you got to take some punts. Kieran Holland, I think, is another interesting one. He's a dual position at hooker, which is very interesting.
He's 400, right? That's a decent chunk.
He's 428, but I mean, this is what mid range is at this year.
Oh, like total crap shot.
Yeah. But yeah, to me, he's going to kick. Last year,
only for a few weeks, if Freese can get his stuff together.
Well, but even when he wasn't kicking last year, he was doing tackle breaks. He was actually playing extremely well in the centre.
He did play well.
His base stats were great. So for me, you know, that's potential. Like, again, none of these players are locked in, by the way. They're just all potential ones to have a look at. I like Fulsey's call on Mansour. I think he's a good price to have a stab at if you've got room.
I'd prefer to have a stab at him in the centre wing than Holland, that's for sure.
So, yeah, for me, it's around those dual position guys where you've got room to move on and structure your side in a different way if they're not panning out.
Yeah. I think centre wing, to me, is the real place to have a random crack. Like, there are guys who can go big. There are guys who will be awful. Chambers is one we discussed. Vunivalu, Josh Adokar. All of these guys are super mid-range. Fuzzy Tua is another one. Nick Kotrick is another one. They might go big. They might be awful.
So you're doing the Klogstad lineup.
I'm going to have one of them that I'm going to give a crack to, and I'm not sure if it's Vunivalu or Chambers.
Don't get Chambers. Remember when we told you not to get Antonio Winterstone?
He's got a...
Don't get Chambers.
He cannot possibly be as bad as he was last year.
No, I agree. I just don't think he's good anymore.
He used to be very good.
Yes. This is what you said about Antonio Winterstone.
Oh, Antonio and Matt Scott. Winters-
and you I'm selected still in- both of them.
Yeah. No. I would select them both this year.
You're an idiot. Don't do it. We had this last year. Okay, so some pods, boys. I've got two written down here. Josh Hodgson is one of mine. Now, he's priced at the point of Cameron Smith. Doesn't kick. It's kind of a concern. I just think he's in for a big year. And I think coming off that ACL injury, it takes you a little while to get back into the game, and I think that's probably he was a, you know, borderline Daly M medalist 2 years ago, so I think he is a potential one that you could have as a pod in your squad. He's in mine at the moment, but with Smith only being $2,000 more, it might be just smarter to have Smith. That's one of mine. Anyone else got a pod they want to discuss?
Well, I had a pod, but he's not playing the first couple of rounds. I think as a mid-ranger pod for me, Joe Stimson was interesting. He had a good back end of the season. Mm. He was unassuming, but his base stats were really, really good. Solid 50, which, again, is what you want your pods to do. So that's a potential one for me. Again, he's not going to be my starting side because he's not playing to start with.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's one. Fulsey, you got any more?
I think the pods are in the halves here. We all seem to be going Milford, but a couple of other guys, DCE, he'll be kicking. He's interesting.
He's a bad kicker, though.
He's a bad kicker, but he's a good player. Michael Morgan is another one. He's interesting at his price point.
I prefer Michael Morgan than DCE. I think DCE is in the back of a bad side.
True.
Yeah.
And one really interesting one, Paul Gallen. He might get bigger minutes with that complete rookie second row that the Sharks are running out.
I find that very interesting. What's his price point at the moment?
I think he's about 500. This is a guy, all he needs is a few extra minutes, and that's two or three extra offloads.
If he was if he was 400, then I'd probably have a stab, but 500,
no. This, he's a pod.
The problem, he absolutely is. Like, it's an interesting one you raise. I like it. The problem is with Pryor, Fifita, Sharon, and himself, plus, you know, whoever else is going, Pakuya, is it, that shares that other spot?
Like, yeah.
So it's an interesting one.
539.
Yeah, I think that's a bit above. If he was about 500.
He's less than Yaz Tavadja, Hayden Guerra.
Yeah, you've named
Cohen Hess.
You've named some terrible players.
Wonga Blake. Gareth Wood is pretty good.
Yeah.
I just think he could be interesting.
Don't hate it.
If you want to go full pod.
Yeah, don't hate it. I like it. If you want to do it, that's not a bad one.
Yeah, I don't mind. And I don't know, for me, it's we've mentioned him before, it may not be a pod if you're going outside the guns, but McCulloch, I think, could be a point of difference in the hooker there. Absolutely. But I think we've talked most people into doing McCulloch right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, well, me so included.
We've tried to. We could be very wrong, though. So
you've talked me into it.
Yeah, good.
So if he fails, I'm going to be so angry.
God, I hope he does. All right, well, that brings us to the end of the Supercoach discussion, boys. Obviously, we've got our league codes. They're up on the Facebook page, so check those out. Also, the tipping comp, jump in there if you want to prove how bad we are at tipping teams. Other than that, boys, I think that's about it. We should probably move on to Simona says Grevers should gamble, I think.
Show me the money!
What you gonna do, Gary?
Show me the money!
All right, boys. Well, I'm up. First cab off the rank. I'm the boss of the show, so I think I'm going to have first stab at this.
Age before beauty, eh?
Yep, and you're... So why isn't Muffy going first?
Well, it's a weird thing where I'm the youngest and the most beautiful. So a bunch of stuff starts cancelling itself out.
You're an idiot.
It's a very complex formula.
One that seems to come out when you've been drinking a few beers. Anyway, look, I'm going to go with a real, real cheap one, but... It's free money and we need a win because we had a real bad year last year. Like, 0 of 30 is not good.
Before you do this, are we doing like last year where you have to double it every...
No.
Yeah, we are.
If we get halfway through the season and we've had no wins, we'll start.
It's you've got to do 13-1. At that point.
Yeah.
Surely.
Yeah. We'll start then. Okay, halfway
very
through.
Good.
All right. Good. If we're that bad, we'll start trying to chase, which always ends well when you're gambling. Chasing
good.
Always ends up good. I'm going with Brett Morris, anytime try scorer, $2.10.
Okay. All right. That's not free money, but it's not bad.
I like it. I think he's going to score a try. I just think he is. I think he's going to get about 22 for the year. So I think he's going to get his first one in the first game. That's what I'm going with. For the adventurous, he's $11 for the first try. Just for the adventurous.
That's not you. Not today.
Oh, look, I'm pretty adventurous, to be honest. I might have a dabble at that.
But your official bet is
$2.10 anytime.
Right.
Got a same game multi bet from Garth. Oh. He is back.
Well, hopefully he was none as well.
He didn't have a good year last year, but having said that, he had a really good year the previous year. We just weren't on board at that point. So he's gone the Knights Sharks game. He's gone with overs for the points. He's gone with Knights 1-4 halftime and Knights 1-12 full time. 39-1. 39 houses for one house.
Okay, not bad.
So we'll give that a crack first up and see if we can get ourselves a W.
Do you want to have a Buffalo Bill bet straight up?
A Buffalo Bill.
Buffalo Bill straight up.
Oh, okay. You and me?
Yep.
All right. Shock me.
Just some guys who've come up. Will Chambers.
Yep.
Scores more tries this year.
Yep.
Than Brett Morris.
Yeah, in. 100% yes. In. You are wrong. That is wrong, wrong, wrong. That is free Buffalo Bill. Wow. We are all in on that. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the show, boys. That's it. We're done.
We're done.
Double shows for everyone. Hopefully we get these up tomorrow at the latest for everyone so they get a bit of time to have a...
Question. Do I need to edit these or we just put them up?
Let's just put them
oh,
up.
Oh, chuck them in.
Mate. Oh, there's a couple of little dead spots.
Yeah, no, we'll just let everyone deal with it. They'll get to the end of the show and we'll explain it.
So they're like, oh, okay, good.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, that's it. Enjoy the week, boys. Check us out on Facebook. Throw us any questions you got, anything you want to know. Foolsy's always keen to provide his opinion on something.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
So make sure you hit us up on there. Mm. And thank God, Rugby League is back, boys. We're on this weekend.
Finally.
8 games of football. Yep. I look forward to it. Foolsy can only watch 3, but that's because he only has live to air. But the rest of us will watch every other game.
Absolutely.
All right.
All right.
Oh, classic song.
Enjoy, yep. Tina Turner only 30 years old.
No, they use this song.
Ah, right.
Oh, Tina Turner?
What's she like? She like
65? Surely?
No, she's older than 65, surely.
We're going to play this song for a while.
Definitely 65, 10.
Wait, I'm looking up the age.
Oh, we're fading out. Hurry up. It's fading out.
No, I know. I can hear it. Oh, 79.
79. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Looking good for 79. Oh, wow. No one's seen her in public for the last 20 years, so you don't know what she looks like.
All right. Enjoy the week, everyone. Enjoy the football. Bye.